excited that my boss canceled the business trip, and I could, I know it was like last minute, and I could actually be at this football game to see Lucas. Wow. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I know. I'm so sorry you couldn't be here, Claude, but I'm here. And I just found out, though, that there's like 10 minutes left and they're losing by 5. So, but I'm so happy I could be here. But I don't have the heart to tell Christy that I was able to come because we're supposed to be watching the game tomorrow. The coach is sending a video to everybody, and I just can't tell her because she's really upset that she can't see Josiah playing the game. Okay, I gotta go. See you later. Yes, go Lucas! Woo! Harbaugh! Woo! Come on, Lucas! Come on! Woo! I don't know if they're gonna do it. Come on. Are you serious? There's a fumble? Come on! You guys can do it! You can do it! Come on, I actually got to come to the game! You can do it! Oh, man, intercepted! Come on! Go, Lucas! Come on! Go, Bengals! You can do it! Are you serious, ref? Are you wearing your glasses? That was clearly out of bounds. Come on, you idiot. I mean, I'm sorry, you precious child of God. I'm so sorry. Oh, there's like 30 seconds left. That looks like impossible. Guess I'm gonna have to tell Claude they lost. Wait a minute! They intercepted the ball! Wait a minute! Come on! You can do it! Oh my goodness! Yes! Touchdown! We win! Woo! Yeah! Woo! The next day. Oh, I can't believe Christy is coming over and I have to act like I was not at the game. I can't tell her that I was at the game, but I'm so excited we get to watch the game together. It's popcorn over here.
Hi!
Darcy!
Hi, how are you?
Together, woohoo!
I so wish I could have been able to go. I know, yeah, wasn't it a bummer that we couldn't go? Because
yeah,
I'm glad we get to watch. Though, because
this
is a pretty important thing in both of our kids' lives.
I know.
And they have played so well all year long, and their team is so great. I just can't believe they've gotten this far, though.
I know.
But this is going to be so fun. Aren't you excited? Yeah. Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
You have some popcorn?
Yeah, it's right here.
Missed
it. Did you do that? Okay. Sorry, I had it on pause already, and it's ready to go. Right?
Yes. Right. I am so ready. I am more than ready. Aren't you excited?
Woo!
I'm so excited. Oh, but you know what? I mean, those boys have tried so hard all year long.
Yeah.
I am kind of nervous. Are you kind of nervous a little bit?
Kind of a little bit.
You're always nervous. I know you're nervous. Come on. But I'm excited at the same time. I believe they can do it. Do you believe they can do it? Because you know, if we believe, anything can happen if we believe, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, the game's already over, but
we can go. But, you know, it's still exciting to think about. Well, let's watch the movie. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh, they fumbled it. I'm really kind of nervous. They're not playing very good. They're you're being odd. They used to play way better than this. They can play better than this. They have won all year long. I know they can do this.
I don't know. I feel pretty relaxed right now.
That is odd. Why are you so relaxed? Why aren't you more into the game? Why are you not upset that they're really not winning right now? I mean, they're down by 5.
I will say, coming to a lot of Women of Grace conferences,
that really helped them. Yeah, well, you're right. It does help a lot. But anyways, they're down by 5. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna do nothing because the game's already over. But I know that I am excited that they can win. I know they can, but it's just so weird watching this game with you. It's not quite the same as it normally is. Usually you're so fun. they're so good and they're doing not so good, it's really looking impossible. It's only got 30 seconds left in the game now. It's not very good. Why aren't you more upset that they're not playing?
I can't handle it anymore. I have to tell you, I know the outcome.
You know the outcome?
They won!
Oh my gosh, they won! No wonder you were not upset, because you knew they were going to win the whole time.
We won! Who cares? We won! Woo! All right. God is good, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God is so good. He is so good. Now, you know what? There are times in life when life throws you some fumbles, some interceptions, right? Some bad calls. But what an amazing difference to know in life that we win. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. You know, and it might even look like game over sometimes, right? Like it did with me, you know, when they told me, diagnosed me with bipolar disorder and PTSD and all these other mental illnesses and addictions, and they tell me that it's incurable. I felt like I was on the losing team. You know, they told me they try to manage it with medication, and but that I would always have symptoms, and I felt like I was on the losing team. One in six commits suicide, and that might be you, so I felt like I was on the losing team. Said I'd never be stable, and I'd spend a lot of my life in the psych ward at different times. I didn't feel like I was on the winning team. So anytime I experienced symptoms of different kinds, I freaked out because I didn't know what my outcome would be based on what they told me. But one day, there were some women that told me the truth about what Jesus did for me, like we're doing at this conference.
Amen.
And told me that Jesus had already won my healing and
yes.
everything I needed at the cross.
Yes.
And I decided not to identify with Team Incurable Bipolar anymore
yes.
and to identify with Team Jesus
yes.
that won for us, the winning team. And I decided to never switch teams in that area. But I will tell you that I need to be reminded daily and have friends that remind me daily that I'm on the winning team.
That's
with
right.
different things in my life. I need that reminder that I'm on the winning team, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. You know, I just a little example. A lot of you know about the Hope Center that I'm opening in Bolingbrook, Illinois. That'll be up and running in January, but there's like a lot of fumbles and interceptions and whatever you want to call it that are coming along with it. And I have to remind myself, and I have wonderful friends and a wonderful spiritual mom that reminds me I'm on the winning team and God is working out good in my life. And even, you know, I just found out my contractor called me on day before we left, Wednesday, and said, you know, the Brown's Chicken next to you, I think that your gas line is going into their property, so you're probably paying their gas bill. And I'm like, my spiritual mom's like, you're on the winning team. Because I can run my message by her. So sometimes you can use people's messages against them. In a good way. But I need that reminder that I'm on the winning team, you know? And so, I mean, just in little things in life or in the big things in life. And, you know, the huge benefit of identifying with Team Jesus is this, and this is what happened when I, you know, got that revelation. The Holy Spirit gave that revelation about what Jesus did. It's Galatians 5:1, the Passion Translation. Let me be clear, the Anointed One has set us free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. We are winners.
Amen.
Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, you're a winner. Jesus made you a winner. Now, were there any qualifications in that verse? set us free?
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. So I want to just take a look at the Word of God, and I love what Sherry, both Sherry's said about the Word of God. And, you know, we can get to know Jesus by the Word. I mean, there is freedom in the Word of God. There is truth in the Word of God that sets us free. And I came across this commentary while I was preparing this on that verse where it says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it said, the Spirit of God is never absent from His Word. So when we're reading the Word here, we believe that things are happening. So let's start out with Colossians 2:10-15, the Passion Translation. And our own completeness is now found in Him. Who's Him?
Jesus.
We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with Him, we have experienced circumcision of the heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. Thank you, Jesus. And it wasn't because of something good we have done, but because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we have been buried with Him, immersed into His death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with Him when we believed in God's resurrection power. Who believes in God's resurrection power? The power that raised Him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Thank you, Jesus. And through the divine authority of the cross, He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, and our shameful failure to keep His laws. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto His cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. We win! Thank you, Jesus. Just say, we win!
We win!
And for time's sake, I have a couple of different versions here, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I'm going to go Colossians 2, and I think I'm starting at 13 in the Amplified version, that says, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate He has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, He made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in His triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. We win. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go to the New Living Translation and drop down to verse 13, the second sentence there. Then God made you, there's a theme here. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. We win. And, you know, it's all because of His love. He loves us. He loves us so much that He wanted us to be free and removes everything that was against us. And we're on the winning team. And He said, you know what? I love you to pieces. And because of that, I will be shred to pieces for you to set you free, to remove your sins, to put you in a new covenant, to make you free. John 3:16-17 in the Message version says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed.
Amen.
By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life.
Yes.
God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger.
Come on now.
Telling the world how bad it was. Amen. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted.
Yes.
Jesus put us back on the winning team.
Yes.
We win. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Now let's go back to that verse that says, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. The Greek word for canceled out, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, is exhalepho. And then you add alepho. Alepho means literally to completely wipe off. So literally, exhalepho means to remove by wiping off, as when a blackboard is erased. The word was applied to the process of obliterating writing on any material. The idea in all the uses is to cause something to cease by obliterating or eliminating any evidence. Now, obliterate means to destroy utterly, to wipe out. And some synonyms, because I love to do those synonyms, right, of obliterate are annihilate, eliminate, decimate, wipe off the face of the earth, wipe off the map, to cause to become invisible, remove all traces of, abolish, do away with, put an end to. So let's read this verse again. God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out, annihilating, eliminating, decimating, wiping off the face of the earth and the map, causing to become invisible, and remove all traces of, abolish and put an end to the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands, the demands of the law against us in which were hostile to us. And I read in this commentary, it says, to understand the word exhalepho, which means to cancel out or completely wipe off, is to understand the amazing mercy and loving kindness of God. The substance on which ancient documents were written was either papyrus, a kind of paper, or vellum, which was a substance made of the skins of animals. Both were fairly expensive and certainly could not be wasted. Ancient ink had no acid in it. It lay on the surface of the paper and did not, as modern ink usually does, bite into it. Sometimes a scribe, to save paper, used papyrus or vellum that had already been written upon. When he did that, he took a sponge and wiped off the writing because it was only on the surface of the paper. The ink could be wiped out as if it had never been. God, in his amazing mercy, banished the record of our sins so completely that it was as if it had never been. Not a trace remained. So not only are we on the winning team, but we have no record of losses. Yes. And I'm from Chicago, and that's the Bears team, so anyway. So, breaking the law, sin, old covenant, all charges against us, that system of earning, striving.
The blood of Jesus.
It's gone.
Yes.
Clean slate.
All right, so Romans 5:13 in the NIV says, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law and he got rid of it. It's obsolete. We're in a new covenant thanks to his blood. But we need to know that because the enemy comes in with accusations all the time, right?
Yes.
But God cancels our sins so much, it's completely as if they never existed. And this is what it says in Hebrews 8:12, the NASB version. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more.
Yes, amen.
Isaiah 43:25, the Amplified version. I, only I, am he who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 43:25, but I, yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. He already did. Thank you, Jesus. I don't keep a list of your sins. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go back to that verse again, those verses. God made you alive. This is verse 13 in Colossians 2. God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. Jesus completely obliterated and wiped out the certificate of decrees against us. The law system, the breaking of the law, that system of earning, that sin consciousness, that do good, get good, do bad, get bad. When someone had a debt in ancient times and it was paid off, they would write, where's Trisha? How do you pronounce that again? Yes, okay, thank you. Tetelestai. There you go. Okay, thank you. On the certificate of debt. That word meant paid in full. And is the same word Jesus said when he said it is finished just before he gave up his spirit. So when the Jews nailed Jesus to the cross, they drove nails into their own law. The old covenant was made obsolete by the blood of the new covenant. We're not under that anymore. We're in a new and better covenant because of Jesus by faith. Thank you, Jesus. How do you know if you're still on team law? Well, Matthew 11:28-30, the Message version says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Do you freak out when they tell you that there's a thing going in the brown chicken, your gas line? Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And so if you're tired, if you're worn out, if you get stressed out, you might need a reminder that Jesus loves you, you're on the winning team, and you've been delivered from team law. You might need that reminder that you don't have to earn his love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You might need that reminder that he's your daddy, yes, and you were always wanted, yes, and you are his precious children, precious daughters,
yes,
precious sons, and all he wants is relationship. That's what he wants. Or you might need him to say, like he needs to say to me all the time, relax, it's okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. All right, I got it. Relax. You're on the winning team. I'm going to work out good for you. I know the outcome. But I want to look for a minute at the contrast between law and grace and the old covenant and the new covenant for a minute here. And I'm going to quickly just say some contrast. And just know that there is a scripture listed for every one of these, but if I had Marcia do it, she'd have to copy like 500 more sheets. So the deal is, I'm not reading 500 of them, by the way. But if you want to see these, I will have them at my back table. But I just want to just read this because it just kind of hammers it home. The Mosaic covenant is the law of sin, the law of the flesh, not of faith, yoke of bondage, ended by Christ, law of death, entangles, a shadow, fulfilled, leaves imperfect, powerless to save, many sacrifices, temporary priest, remember sins, yearly atonement, priests have sin, animal sacrifices, earthly tabernacle, imperfect mediator, no inheritance, instituted upon animal blood, law of works, non-redeeming, non-pleasing, faulty, weak, unprofitable, daily program, perfected nothing, repeated inability, many offerings, good promises, a good covenant, good promises, but nobody can live up to those. Many high priests, no mercy, an old way, ministry of condemnation, brings bondage, cannot justify, brings a curse, live by works, cannot give life, exposes sin, abolished ministry of death. Now, who wants to be on that team? Let's look at the new covenant that Jesus put, we are in this new covenant thanks to Jesus and thanks to his blood and, oh, thank you, Jesus. Law of righteousness, law of the Spirit, law of faith, law of liberty, established by Christ. Law of life makes free the reality now in force, makes perfect, more glorious, saves to the uttermost. One sacrifice for sin, not many sacrifices. Eternal priest, not temporary priest, forgets sins. Eternal atonement, sinless priest, human sacrifices, not animal, human sacrifice, Jesus, not animal sacrifices, heavenly tabernacle, instituted upon the blood of Christ, saves from wrath, redeems, pleasing to God, perfect, strong, profitable, finished program, perfects believers, glorious success, one offering, better promises, a better covenant, one high priest, complete mercy, ministry of righteousness, glory uncovered, brings liberty, does justify, redeems from the curse, does give life, continues glorious, reconciliation ministry. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Now we got one more to read in case you didn't get it with that one. All right. You ready? All right, we're going to contrast law and grace, and then we're going to ask what team we want to be on. Well, we're on that team whether we know it or not. We're on the winning team. So, all right. So law prohibits. Grace invites and gives. Law condemns. Grace redeems. The law says do. Grace says it is done. The law curses. Grace blesses. The law slays sinners. Grace makes sinners alive.
Yeah. Yes,
law says continue to be holy. The law condemns the best man. The law says pay what you owe. Wages of sin is death. Reveals sin. Given by Moses. Demands obedience. Done away in Christ. Shuts every mouth before God. Written on stone. Puts us under bondage. Gives knowledge of sin. Says the soul that sinneth it shall die in death. Grace says, I save the worst man, says it is finished, says I freely forgive all. The gift of God is eternal life, reconciles sin, came by Jesus Christ, bestows and gives powers to obey, abides forever, opens the mouth to praise God, written in the tablets of the heart, set us free in liberty of the sons of God, gives redemption from sin, believe and they shall live, and it gives life. Thank you, Jesus. So we've been delivered from that. It's been nailed to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 6:14 says Christians are not under the law. Romans 7:1 through 6 says Christians have been delivered from the law. Galatians 2:19 says Christians are dead to the law. Romans 10:14, Christ is the end of the law to those who believe. Who believes here? We are free, we win because of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want to go back to that verse again and say one more thing here. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession. having triumphed over them through the cross. Now, I'm just going to give you a brief, there's a lot of information you can find, and I'm very simplistic. But in Roman times, when a Roman general would win a war, there would be this triumphal procession in the streets where he would be in a chariot in the front of the parade, and behind him would be the defeated general and all his defeated armies and all the spoils that they had taken, and they would march through the streets so everybody could see, quote, the losers, whatever you want to call it, but see the winner, right? So Paul uses this imagery to show us Jesus triumphing over the enemy. They're defeated forever for everyone to see. And Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection, won the victory over death, the enemy, sickness, sin, depression, anything that comes against us. And Pastor Sherry used this verse several times. 2 Corinthians 2:14, the Amplified Version says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him." Yes, now, during that parade, all the people would burn incense. So you would smell this incense in the streets. Okay, so that was like the smell of victory. Well, you know what? We have the sweet fragrance of Christ. Yes. You smell like a winner. Yes. You are a winner. We smell like Jesus. We have the fragrance of Jesus. We are winners with Jesus in the front of that chariot. Yes. With the enemy defeated and everything that comes against us, behind us, yes, defeated. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "You smell like Jesus." You smell like an overcomer. All right, so I want you to close your eyes for a minute and picture yourself walking through the streets of where you live right now. And you are at the head of that triumphant procession with Jesus. And whatever you're struggling with right now, think of one thing, no matter what it is, sickness, a bad relationship, children issues, whatever it is, that Jesus has already won the victory for you. You smell like Jesus, you are a victor, and you picture all of that behind you in the chariots with the enemy. Gone, done. You are in the front. Jesus overcame for you. So picture yourself walking in that victory, and picture yourself, no matter where you walk, you have the fragrance of Christ and you smell like a winner. Now, does that, you know, the enemy is defeated, but does he still exist? He's going to try to tempt us to go back into his chariot, right? He does all the time. Worry, stress, fear, they're all a part of his team. And you know what? I know I go back there sometimes, and I'm riding in the back, and it doesn't look good. And I'm like, "Jesus, you're in the front. I should be in the front." And he says, "That's okay. Come here. Come here. Come on. Come on. It's okay. Just change your mind. Come on up there, and you can be on that winning. You're on that winning team. Just identify with the winning team again." He's so good. He's so good. There's no condemnation in that. None. None. There's none. And he will help us no matter where we're at, because we're all on different levels in this life. And we all have gone through different things in life. And I might struggle with something that you don't struggle with. But Jesus knows us all individually. And he will help us and remind us, "It's okay, I've overcome. You're an overcomer. You smell like me, you're a winner." Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you know what? The enemy's alive, and all he can do is seek whom he may devour, right? So this is what we can do. If he's seeking who he may devour, take yourself off the menu. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm taking myself off the menu. You know, when we know we're on that winning team, I mean, people know it. I mean, that's like Paul. He knew he was on that winning team. You know, even when he was in prison, he wrote those letters filled with hope. He knew he was on the winning team. And you know what? That's when we know we're on that winning team, we're like, rise up and walk.
Yes, yes.
We just live boldly, knowing that we're on the winning team no matter what. Even death does not, it can't do anything to us. We win.
Yes,
we
yes,
win.
Yes.
My mom is with Jesus right now. She won. She wins. She's rejoicing with him right now. She's probably cheering me on right now. And circumstances looked like she didn't win. Well, what? Guess what? She won. She's with Jesus. So we win no matter what. That's the good news about Team Jesus. You know, and if you struggle with something, a past sin or failure, and you have a hard time letting it go, I think now is your moment.
Yes.
Receive what Jesus did for you and see it nailed to the cross as if it never existed. The evidence is gone. It's done.
Yes.
The Phillips version of Colossians 2:14 is not in your notes, but it says this: Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. So I'm going to end with this. When life throws you a fumble, an interception, or you even have to be taken off the field in a stretcher. That was Christy's idea, I gotta tell her. That was a good one. That was really good. Or the Father has to he'll just bandage us up, comfort us, you know, take our hand, pick us back up again, you know. But when life throws you those, remember this. We're on the winning team. We win. When we fail, we're still righteous. We never lose that position in Christ. We win. When we blow it big time, God never gets mad at us. Ever. We win. We can never be separated from his amazing love. What do we say?
We win.
He will never leave us. He's with us forever. We win. When we need rescuing from our own poor decisions, he will rescue us as many times as we need it. We win. Even when we experience symptoms in our body, he's the answer. He provided healing through Jesus. We win. When we feel sad or experience loss, we have the best comforter that's there to help us to get to the other side. And he experienced all of that for us so that we could overcome. We win. When the enemy tries to accuse us with condemnation, we win. Because there is no condemnation in Christ. And when we go through trials, he's made us an overcomer, and he's overcome for us. We win. Can you say with me, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all because of you, Jesus. We can all celebrate and rejoice together because we are on that same winning team. And we can remind each other of that when we need it. because I might not need it at a time that my friend does. And I can remind her, but when I need it, she can remind me. We just need that reminder all the time. Thank you, Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you're just such a good daddy. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that Jesus rescued us and set us free and forgave our sins, and there's no record of wrongs, no record of losses. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that all we have to do is say yes, yes. It's a gift. We don't have to earn it. It's already done. And we just want to say we thank you for that gift, and we say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.